And today
we are going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 23. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heaven realms. For above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We have considered the Apostle Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1, 5 times so far. Paul's prayer was, "Let me know the true God." Paul did not pray by asking God for his one desire or what he wanted to happen in the future, but he prayed, "Help me to know better the seriousness of the unspeakable and significant things God has already done for me." And he taught us through that prayer that nothing is more important than to know about God. Ultimately, the depth of our faith depends, as in Apostle Paul's prayer, on knowing who is God, knowing what he has called us to expect, knowing how he has entertained us and how he continues to work his great power in us and in our lives, God's hospitality to us and how he is still working his mighty power in us and in our lives. In my last message, which has been little while in coming, I considered God's great commission at work in us and in our lives. And today I would like to consider the church, which is most obvious example and object of God's great commission at work. So let's look at verse 20. When he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, for above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. When we clearly know what the church is and its value, we will be itching to do something or other for the church. Through the work of God's mighty power, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, took his place at the right hand of God the Father, and became the head over all things. Everything we know that and do not know and following and obeying him, he became the head over all things. Jesus Christ, such head of all things, became the head of the church, and the church became his body. He who is God is the church, and without the church, he is not satisfied and does not rejoice, and he even refuses to acknowledge his own existence as God. Verse 23 says, the church is the body of Christ, full of him, who fills all things with all things, meaning that God's greatest concern is the church. The church is the object of God's desire to fill all things, and it is where he fills it with his glory in abundance. But when the Bible speaks of the church, it is not the first sense of a building, nor organization or institution. The church is an organic and living organism connected to God, whose head is Christ. Who is the head of will intention of the body, each one of us saints who believe in Christ. The church is inseparable, organic, life-giving body that is connected to Christ and to us, his saints. If the head and body are separate, there's no life. It is only when the head and body are connected that there is life. If my finger was cut off, who would be hurt? It is me, not my finger. If my hand wrote a zero on the answer sheet, who would be embarrassed? Me, not my hand. If my right foot scored a goal, who would be proud? Me, not my right foot. Our bodies are organic and connected by life. In the same way, we were connected to Jesus Christ in the same way that if I hurt him, he hurts. And if he is proud, I am proud. Christ and us are one body. So if we say, I live for the church, that is synonyms with me living for my body, striving to care for my body, investing in dedication to develop my body to keep it. In other words, our pain is Christ's pain. The glory he enjoys is our glory. When we read the book of Romans, we read that glory of God is expressed in the created things, just being in nature, such as forests, oceans, skies, and rivers, is refreshing, inspiring, and blessed. And the reason for this, biblically speaking, is that God's glory is expressed there. And It is the church where God wants the glory to be perfectly displayed and expressed. It's very simple words, but it's amazing. In the Old Testament, God displayed His glory on Mount Sinai, in the temple of God, in the pillar of cloud, and in the pillar of fire, so that the people of Israel could understand. And when He ascended to heaven after His death on the cross and resurrection, and gave the promised Holy Spirit to His disciples who believed in Him, they who had been afraid and hiding until then openly proclaimed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the manifestation of the glory of God, and they became 30. The number of believers in the Christ increased day by day. From 30,000 to 5,000, and with presence of each and every one of these saints, God became His glory, God's glory. The church is the flock that believes in Christ and is living organism with Christ as its head. Since it is one body with Jesus as its head, it is the church that does Jesus wants it to do, and it is the church that will be the ark of salvation when Jesus comes again. The church is model of the God's word. Perhaps in the world, the existence of the church may be considered insignificant, but when the eyes of the Spirit are opened, the church is the assembly of God's people filled with the awesome glory of Christ, who stands above all things. After Christ, standing above all things is the church. It is the church God has allowed and given to us as the most outstanding manifestation of the work of His awesome power at work in us. And guiding us. The church is fundamentally Jesus' thing, since Christ is its head. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter confessed to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus declares, "I will build my church on this confession and on this Christian, Peter." In other words, all churches belong to Jesus. Tsuchiura Megumi Church naturally belongs to Jesus, not to us. When measuring the value of something, who owns it, and by whom it was made determines its value. But if the church belongs to us, it has no value. If the church is ours. It has no value. But if it belongs to Jesus, who is God, it has highest value. The church belongs to Jesus Christ, who is God. This means that there is nothing more precious to God than the church. Nothing in heaven or on earth is more valuable to God. There is nothing that can be compared, and comparing churches to churches is nonsense. The church, which is the body of Christ with Christ as its head, is all precious to God. Therefore, the church is existence that should not be condemned unnecessarily. Of course, if something needs to be corrected, it must be corrected. But the church is existence that should be loved because Jesus loves it. How does Jesus love the church? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Jesus knows better than anyone that the church has shortcomings, problems, faults, blemishes, and wrinkles, but he still loves it enough to offer his life for it. He loves the church so much that he gave his life for it, and he loves it passionately, sanctifying it daily with his word and the washing of water, so that one day it will stand as holy without blemish, spot, or wrinkle. And chapter 5, verse 29. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. To love the church is to please Jesus and to rejoice in him, for Jesus himself never hated his body, the church, but nurtured Therefore, when we Christians condemn the church, we condemn ourselves. When we condemn the church, we condemn our own faces, our hands, our feet, our looks, our content, our thoughts, our feelings. Of course, we are also a bunch of fraud sinners who may commit things worthy of condemnation. So each one of us need to be respectful and admit our faults. But Jesus still loves us more than to condemn the church, which is his body. Jesus loves the church, his body, more than he condemns it, because it is his body. Let me ask you one question at a time. Which part of your body is more important, your heart or your lungs? Which one is more precious? If you were asked to remove one or the other, which would you remove? This is a ridiculous question. The heart is important and the lungs are important. We need both to live. And no matter how little we are aware that our hearts are beating or our lungs are breathing, we all know that we cannot live without them. The love that Jesus says, "I love the church," is the relationship between the heart and the lungs. You cannot live without either of them. You cannot sustain life without either of them. The inseparable relationship between the heart and lungs is what Jesus meant when he said, "I love the church." We are all one body. Men and women of different age, backgrounds, experience, thoughts, jobs, and studies, but all of us are one body with Christ at its head. If I don't want to be one body, it could mean that I don't want Christ to be the head and the king, and it could deny that I am a Christian who is connected to Christ. There is nothing more contradictory from God's point of view than being Christian while rejecting and condemning others who are part of the body. Would you say that the heart does not like the lungs? How can the lungs hate the heart? If we say that Christ is the head, the Lord, and the King, but it reality we judge and cut people off in order to make things work the way we want them to work, the way we want them to work them, we may be denying our own hearts and lungs that we are body of Christ. We must be like Jesus, who said, "Take the cup from me if you can, but do not as I wish." How often have I served the church by breaking my thoughts and feelings, but not as I wish, but as you wish? How often have I served others in the church with the joy and gratitude that my thoughts and ideas were broken? Rather, how many times have I changed my face when things did not go my way? Say then, the evil spirits are always on the prowl to tear down the church, the body of Christ. He takes advantage of the mind, thoughts, arrogance, anger, sense of justice, righteousness, experience, knowledge, common sense, economic sense, and financial sense of each one of us. That body of Christ, and always invites us to harm our one body. But God, Holy Spirit, is the one who protects us from such attacks, makes us look at the cross, gives us the heart to be united, that leads us to harmony of loving one another. This harmony that the Holy Spirit gives is the glory of God that is manifested in the church. About 150 years ago, there was a church called First Baptist Church in the city of Evanston, Illinois, USA. The church had barbaric practice of telling black African Americans not to set foot on the church grounds at any time. This was barbaric act of spiritual blindness, in which they were unable to remember the glory of God because they had become the head of the church. Instead of Jesus being the Lord, King, and head, the black Christian who left them built the Second Baptist Church and began to live their religious life there. Such a contentious and conflicted relationship lasted for 100 years. But in 1991, the First Baptist Church's 300 members of the congregation of the First Baptist Church decided to go to the Second Baptist Church, which had grown to congregation of 3,000 people. And 300 members of the First Baptist Church formally apologized to the Second Baptist Church, which had grown to 3,000 members, asking for forgiveness for their mistakes of 100 ago, which the people of the Second Baptist Church gladly accepted. From then on, two churches began to cooperate with each other on a daily basis, and a beautiful relationship between them was not limited to the churches, but also affected the people of the town. It was interesting to note that people who did not understand Jesus, no matter how much we talked about him and how much we talked about God and believing in God, responded to the way the society loved each other. The world is attracted to people who love each other, because the truth is we are all looking for beautiful relationship of love, relationship of peace. When people see us, the body of Christ, loving one another, it opens their hearts to accept Jesus. But if there is no love there, it is not attractive to people. In Tsujiura Megumi Church, this is also true for the four projects that take place within the church: kindergarten, schools, welfare programs all already exist in the world. And in terms of facilities, personal and traditional traditions, kindergarten, schools, and welfare programs in society may be much more admirable. So why should the church dare to do them? There is only one reason. The church needs to embody the love of the body with Christ as its head, to embody the love between the staff members who are Christians, so to children, parents, and visitors, and to society, so that they can see and feel that there is love there that is not found in the world. In a sense, the most painful, embarrassing, and the regretful things we can do after believing in Jesus is to judge, fight, and divide fellow Christians. Why do we do this? Because we don't know. Because they don't know that they are being completely deceived and pushed around by the devil, by the Satan. If we are obsessed only with what is right and what is wrong, we are completely deceived. Just as Paul says to Christians by his smug zeal for God, and Ezra drove out Gentile wives and children by his zeal for faith, we can end up hurting each other when we pursue righteousness alone. Satan is a cunning schemer who knows how to use justice and righteousness rather than outright evil. The work of Holy Spirit is to hold others as Jesus forgave and accepted a woman who committed adultery and gave her faith in his growth. First of all, saints who believe in Christ should love each other like the relationship between heart and lungs, so that we can fulfill our appointment as the body of Christ. We desire revival of the church, but revival of the church is fundamentally different from preaching good sermons, playing good music, increasing the sales of the Christ of the church. The true church revival is the church where Jesus is the true head of the church and all the saints accept one another as one body and build each other up as Jesus wants and directs. Other than this, I do not know much more than this. There is no church that is more exciting than this. A church that is not a church made up of something we did, but church that is made up for something God made it to be. A church that made up for something He made it to be. A church where God's love can be seen. There is only one thing we need to do to become such a church. We must always look up to Jesus, think about Him. We gather alone, we think alone, we make decisions and do things based only on our thoughts, common sense and calculation. We pray a little, but in the end, we do what we want, what we think we want. There is only one reason for this. It is because Jesus is invisible to naked eye. If we could see Him with our physical eyes, we would ask Him everything single time. If we could see Him with our eyes, we would ask Him every time, Jesus, what should I do about this? What do you think about that? But since we cannot see it, we end up doing things according to our own thoughts and feelings. We justify our actions by saying to ourselves, I am sure that Jesus would want this. But if we look at to Jesus, believing that He is always with us, far beyond physical limits of what we can see, the church and our lives will be changed in a quiet but sure and amazing way. Look at the Lord Jesus. Look at the Lord Jesus, who is the head. It is the same everywhere you look. We pray for many things, but there is one prayer that will always be answered, no matter what. It is the prayer that asked Jesus. If God were to ask you today, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want? There is a correct answer to God's question. It is, God, I don't want anything else. I just want Jesus. Jesus is enough. Here is the answer to everything. Everything we need comes from Jesus. Everything the church needs and everything we need as its body comes from Jesus, because he built it and he is the head of it. Money, people, materials, food, land, buildings, love, care, patience, prophecy, and tongues all comes from Jesus. If we only look to Jesus, he will give us everything we need. And here is something that only Jesus can do that we need to know. Only Jesus can make a person who was living according to his own desire and greed, living for his own honor and stimulation, realize his sinfulness and come to repent from the bottom of his heart. No one else can do this for him. A person who had lived only for himself or herself, a person who has been truly self-centered, realizes how much God loves him or her, accepts God's love with tears in face of God's love, and changed into a person who helps and loves others from now on. Only Jesus can do this. This is not something that can be taught by others. Even in midst of hardship, exhaustion, pain, suffocating sadness that no one recognizes, I know that God is still alive and loves me, and I can sing praises from my heart and give thanks. Can we teach people to help others even when they themselves are in need of help? Only Jesus can do that. All of these things, the most important things in a person's life, all comes from Jesus. Jesus changes our very lives, our very way of life, all good things in our lives, not just church things, comes from Jesus. If we begin to seek Jesus, not only our lives will change, but also the church. When we seek Jesus, God will open the gates of heaven, right? God's thoughts and plans for the church are tremendous. It is church that shows people heaven in this world. It is the church that shows people that the true God is alive. If you think, I have not seen such a church yet, then I ask you today to decide, what do you believe? Do you believe in my experience that I have lived until today, or do you believe in the Word of God? If we believe God's Word, and every time we gather, we declare that Jesus is King, and we desire what he wants, and we look up to him alone and seek him alone, then we will experience God's glory according to his word, and we will build a church where his glory will be revealed. Such a church will make the most people and the world. You may have heard The saying, when the church lives, the world lives. When the church dies, the world dies. And it is true. This is because the church is body of Christ, full of him who fills all things with all things. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you said you are not God without church. And you said each one of us are body of the church. The words are so amazing, and let us realize that word is true. And please let us love each other. And like heart, rejoice, lung, and lung. Lung needs heart, and please give us your spirit to our heart, like lung and heart. And remember us, we are part of your body. Please remember us, your glory. And we can live remembering your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.